views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on, to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I'm excited about the show today, but I've got to start off with a statement that it just hit me whenever I booked today's guest. Some people just have a name that oozes success. And so before I introduce my guest today, I've got to tell you a little backstory. So my son-in-law gets married many, many years ago. And one of the guys in his wedding's name was Cole Cash, and I was introduced to this guy, and I'm like, "Your name is Cole Cash?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you play the guitar?" He said, "No, why?" I said, "Dude, a guy with the name of Cole Cash, you know, you can see that in Nashville. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Cole Cash." And boom, the guitar hits, the music starts. I mean, it was like destined. And he works in a factory someplace. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I got it. But there's this opportunity that's just placed before you that you missed. But my guest today didn't miss his opportunity. My guest today has one of those names. And when I was first introduced, I was like, okay, somebody pulling my leg. But his name is Morris Morrison. And when I met Morris, it was just like we instantly connected, because this guy has a name that oozes success. And in fact, his brand, Morrison Global, positions you for success. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what Morris does and how he inspires people to really find success. So, Morris, man, it is so great to have you on the show today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for that great introduction. Yes, Chuck, that is my real name. And what you all people need to know out there, as soon as I take the stage when I speak, a lot of people say when they come up to me after an event, they say, "Your name is Morris Morrison." And I say, "That's right." They say, "Wait a minute. And you're from Mooresville, North Carolina?" I said, "Yep, I'm Morris Morrison from Mooresville, North Carolina." They said, "That's too much." I said, "No, it's not Morrisville, North Carolina. It's Mooresville, North Carolina." They said, "I don't even care if it's spelled the same. It's just alliteration. It rolls off." I said, "Well, if you think that's good, wait till you realize that last summer we bought a new house." Now, Chuck, here was the deal. Chuck, I told my wife last summer, I said, "Lisa, you can have whatever house you want right here in this area. We want to live. Just, we're not living in that neighborhood over there." She said, "Why not?" I said, "Because the neighborhood, the development is called Morrison Plantation." I said, "There's no way that's happening." And listen, we had contracts on four houses, Chuck, four houses. One fell through. They didn't want to fix the roof. The other one didn't want to repair the dock on the lake, and the other one, and the other one, and the other. Chuck, can I ask you a question? What do you think we bought a house at?
Oh, of course, Mooresville Plantation.
So listen, so now I'm Morris Morrison from Mooresville, North Carolina. The road that we live off of is Morrison Plantation Boulevard, and we live in a development called Morrison Plantation. So Morris Morrison from Mooresville, North Carolina, off of Morrison Plantation Boulevard in Morrison Plantation, I'm glad to be live on the call with you guys today.
Man, I'm telling you, that's like the stars freaking aligned. I can see it. When you're born, somehow God up above said, "We're going to infuse this guy with enough stuff to make sure that he doesn't miss his cold cash opportunity.
And when I was born, God just basically said, he said, I got your back. Just follow my lead and I got you. I said, all right.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Morris and I met in, I guess, probably Charlotte, North Carolina, with the NSA Carolinas group, both of us functioning as speakers. And I found pretty quickly after we met each other and went through some of the initial introductions that we also have some unique connections in a multitude of ways. I was adopted at birth. Morris has a similar story. It's a little different than mine. So, Morris, why don't you take us back to when you were born in New York City and give us a little bit of the background.
Well, the backstory is really interesting. My mother was a very beautiful lady. She was from Tennessee. And when my mother was 19 years old, her dreams were much bigger than the local economy could support. So with the talent that she had, she wanted to take her talent and her looks to New York City to become a model, actress, and a dancer. And she did that. She became very successful. And any charm, any energy, anything that I get that develops in the form of stage presence for a client, I know for a fact I get that from my mother. And when she got there, she met a tall, dark-skinned, good-looking brother from Harlem. He swept her off her feet. Hey, and the rest was history. But the interesting thing about it is, you know, Chuck, a lot of us, we have big dreams. We may be clear on what we want out of life. We pursue them. But sometimes we're not really ready for those curveballs when they come our way. Specifically, a lot of them come our way in the form of influences that that cause us to make certain decisions. And my mother went with the best of intentions. And I don't know all or much about the story, but the details that I do know are fuzzy from a couple family members who lived there in New York City at the time. Basically, my mother's influence that she had and her abundant resources through her success led her to developing a lifestyle that she couldn't sustain in the form of a partying and an alcohol and a drug habit. And they found my mother's dead body when she overdosed in a hotel room in Times Square in New York City. And I don't know where I was. I don't know how they found me. I don't know where my dad was. My father passed away shortly after that. So that's when I lost my first set of parents. But, you know, it's funny. Whether we run a business, whether it's a marriage we're participating in, no matter what we do in life, there's always little angels that are setting our path. And for me, her name was Gwendolyn Sanders, a lady from Fairmont, West Virginia. Excuse me. I do.
No
I get
problem.
Choked
up. That would choke me up too, buddy.
I get choked up talking about it. Fairmont, West Virginia. So from New York City, excuse me. This never happens. I've been on the road speaking all week, so my voice is a little dry. Excuse me, you all. See, what I want to do for the people who are listening right now, Chuck, this is that moment. It's called a long pause, you know, where the speaker develops a voice inflection or eludes that there's something wrong physically just to see how much the audience.
Now, Morris, you know, I love you, brother, but you're pulling my leg a little bit on that one. You know, it is interesting from your end that I think you said your mother went to New York City when she was 19. Is that right?
Yep, around that
okay.
age.
And it was interesting. I was born and put up for adoption when my mother was 19. And so although you were orphaned by the death of your parents – my mother recognized that it just wasn't the circumstances weren't right for her to be my primary caretaker. Yeah. She recognized that she wasn't ready, and the experience within her within her home life. Her father basically said, you know, we're gonna kick you out of the family, so to speak. You'll have no opportunity in the family if you keep this child, because I was an illegitimate child.
Wow.
And I have to say, a lot of people would look and say, well, gee, you know, gosh, you were put up for adoption at birth, and you know, doesn't that really suck? And how do you feel about it? And although there is still more to the story, and this is not about me, but the interesting side to it is, you know, you start to look back and you see, although the circumstance was maybe less than what we would have wanted, the reality is the angels were there saying, okay, you know what, this is what you need to help you become the person that you need to become. Right. So you've had a little bit of water, and so take us to West Virginia with your new adopted parents.
You know, Chuck, an important detail here is that my mother was white and my father was black. And the lady who raised me was a distant relative on my father's side of the family. And she was an angel. She heard about this baby. She said she was the type of lady who said, there's no way any child, I don't care if it's my child or if it's someone within a stone's throw of our family. It didn't matter if you weren't even related to her. She took you in. So let's talk about 110 West Lawn Street. 110 West Lawn Street was a place in Fairmont, West Virginia, where magical thing happened. Magical things. What we realized is sometimes when magical things happen, it doesn't mean the resources were abundant or the situation was primed or even in the best position. She was just a lady who had a heart like Mother Teresa. So on 4th of July, when she barbecued, there was a line down the street of people wanting to come because they knew during the holidays, Thanksgivings, Christmas, you can come and get a hot plate. There were times I saw people sleeping on our couch. I didn't know who they were. But Gwendolyn Sanders, she produced this place and this, what I'm going to call it, an experience, Chuck, at 110 West Lawn Street. It was an experience that she provided for anyone. And I'll tell you something. We had everyone from governors who knew her all the way to homeless people. And I mentioned to tell you this, from the time I was a kid, by the time I was around 3 and a half or 4, her husband, who was a coal miner in West Virginia, he died and had a heart attack. And so now she's got all these kids and foster kids like me that she's raising on no resources. She was on welfare. Hey, as a matter of fact, we had food stamps. And without food stamps and state assistance and federal assistance, I wouldn't have eaten. By the way, Chuck, can I ask you a question? Do you know anything about government cheese and peanut butter?
You know, buddy, I do. I lived in the projects when I was a teenager. So we have more in common than probably you think. Now, I'm not a peanut butter guy, but the big hunks of government cheese were absolutely fine, buddy.
See, I thought I liked you, Chuck, but any guy who doesn't appreciate peanut butter, specifically the big blocks and the big thing of peanut butter, the government. Hey, do you know where the cheese and the peanut butter came from, by the way, Chuck?
I have no idea.
After all of the wars, specifically Vietnam, the government used those big blocks of the cheese and the peanut butter. That was part of the rations they sent over to the soldiers. So, you know, I think we were victorious in the war, and it ended, I think, a little sooner than people thought, which was great. We had all of these rations left over. So the government said, you know what? We'll hand them out in a form of welfare. And I'll tell you something. 110 West Lawn Street was a place where Gwendolyn Sanders could turn that block of cheese into the best macaroni and cheese you've ever had, that peanut butter. She did things. Have you ever heard of a peanut butter cake before?
I have not heard of a peanut butter cake.
Oh, goodness gracious. She did magical things. But I tell you something, she invested in me. She invested in a lot of people. I thought I was the only one, Chuck. You know how sometimes when someone is really nice to you, when someone makes you feel a certain way, whether it was that coach or that teacher, or maybe it's a leader in an organization who has superb leadership skills and they have a way of making you think you're the favored one on their team, but really it's their magical way of just, it's how they influence people through actually showing that they care. I thought I was her number one grandchild. I thought I was the head honcho, but it wasn't until later after her death that I realized I was one of many. So I want you to appreciate something, Chuck. She had a son named Chucky, and I told you this, who I call Dad.
And Morris, before listen, hang with me here a second.
Gotcha.
Before you go into the story,
yep.
We're going to be going for a commercial break here in 30 seconds. So, you know, as we continue the program today with Morris Morrison, Morris is telling us the story behind the brand. He's kind of pulling back the curtain, so to speak, so we can see how he today helps position you for success. Right. So stick with us so you can continue to get the rest of the story with Morris Morrison here on Straight Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a second. My guest is Morris Morrison. Yeah, you heard the name right. It's not a made-up name. It's absolutely correct. And if you missed the first segment of the show, you missed all of the Morris iterations. I swear there had to have been a preacher or somebody in the past that was an iteration specialist, because you definitely have that divine iteration. But Morris was telling us the story behind the brand. You see, Morris positions people for success. And Morris, at this stage of the game, you had said to us you were orphaned as a child. You had gone to West Virginia. You felt like you were the favorite grandchild, and you were getting ready to tell us about Chuck.
Chuck was the lady who adopted me, Gwendolyn Sanders, my angel, as I refer to her. When she took me from New York City to Fairmont, West Virginia, she was like a lot of African-American men and women in my family. She was a big-boned lady. She had a little extra weight to throw around, but it was packed full of loving, and it came with this this amazing ability to cook and to do something in the kitchen that really just touched your soul. Where do you think the word soul food came from? But with that came quite a few people in my family who had diabetes. And when I was 4 years old, she got the news that she was going to have to go to Johns Hopkins Medical in Baltimore to have her leg amputated. And she did that. And it was a long rehab process, almost 2 years. And the interesting thing about it is I'm five at this point. I'm getting ready to go into kindergarten. So the question was, what's going to happen to this little kid? And she had a son named Chuck. He said, I'll take care of that baby. Give me that boy. I'll watch him. Chuck was a good guy. Listen to this. Here's what's amazing, Chuck. He was only 22 years old. 22 going on 23. What 22, 23-year-old is ready to accept the responsibility of a nice, bright, good-looking kid like me? Think about that for a second, Chuck. I was a handful, and I was full of energy, bopping all around. But he had a girlfriend named Sue, and Sue had a son from a previous relationship named Josh, who was the same age as me. So I went to live with Chuck and Sue and Josh. We had this little pseudo-family for about 2 years, and Chuck takes me to kindergarten. They take me to first grade. Listen, at this point, hey, you would like to know, he's the only other African-American in my family who's light skin and curly hair like me. We look so much alike that it's kind of scary in a way. And I called him Dad. And my schoolmates and people knew him as Morris's dad. And no one knew him as anything else. And so when Gwendolyn came back from her operation after it was successful, after a lot of time went by, she's in a wheelchair. And I'm thinking, yeah, she's in a wheelchair. She's only got one leg. I could do whatever I want to do now. Oh, no. I mean, she... I don't know if you got whoopings when you were young, Chuck, but did you ever get beatings? Do you ever get beatings?
Look, Morris, now look, you know, you and I both, you're younger than I am, but you and I both came up in the South. You That's did right. something wrong, they would tell you. Now, you go out, boy, to get a hickory That's and right. come back. That's and right. that's how, now look, you had it natural. I'm going to give it to you. You had it natural. That's how I learned to dance. a hickory switch. I mean, I learned how to boogie, boy. My legs would just go to town. Today, however, you know and I know, people get on the news for taking a hickory switch to their youngins. So, boy, have times changed. But, yes, I got a whooping, and I know exactly what that was like.
And, Chuck, that's a great segue, and it's something I'm going to share later, because things are a lot different than when we were young. But I say that to say that when Gwendolyn came back, after her rehabilitation from Johns Hopkins, even though she only had one leg, she was in a wheelchair. You know, as a kid, you try to push your boundaries. It's just something we do as kids, right? I don't care if your parents are walking upright or if they're in a wheelchair. It sounds very manipulative, but kids want to push the extreme borders and get the most they can from their parents, right? So, of course, I was ornery and I was bad, but I didn't realize she could still whoop my butt like she did. She would take those knives and forks and spoons off the wall. Everyone else used for decoration, she broke all of them on me. And you know what? I knew she loved me. I knew she loved me. And the best part about it is Chucky was still a part of my life, and he was the father figure. And he wasn't around as much. You know, and it bothered me a little bit. I was a kid who missed his dad, Chuck. And but I wasn't emotionally mature enough to understand, A, that he wasn't my dad, and B, I should have expressed gratitude for the 2 years that he was there for me, because I would have been thrown back into the foster care system, or who knows what would have happened to me when he took me in his early 20s and did what he simply did not have to do.
Now, Morris, let me ask you a question. You're Chucky, as you call him, Chucky, who kind of took you in and served as a father figure. As I understand it, you said, you know, he was falsely accused of shooting a person in the hand and was sentenced to almost 100 years?
Yep.
I knew from your sharing with me in Today Time, I knew that Chucky had been sentenced to prison, but for shooting someone in the hand and getting almost 100 years, it's absolutely incredible. And I have to say, and people on the call can, you know, you call it as it is, but prison is a business. And I assume if you are black in West Virginia, the reality is, as I have personally experienced with a lot of people that I was incarcerated with, that there's disparities in sentencing, depending upon perhaps your education and your color.
You're right, Chuck. And I want you to understand something. Just in case I go back and run for governor one day, I want to describe this in a way that doesn't paint West Virginia negatively, because I want to say this. West Virginia is an amazing place to live. It's an amazing place to be. It was when I was a kid, and it is today. But as the old Italian man in Clarksburg, West Virginia, Mr. Romano, once said, it's not where you go, it's how you go. And there are a lot of great people in West Virginia. I want to make it bigger than that for a second, Chuck, because it is. In this country, in the United States, when there's black-on-black crime or when just another African-American man comes to a courtroom, there's almost this desensitization that comes with the emotional aspect of saying, man, that's someone's son. This is a kid who may have made a mistake, or was there circumstantial evidence? It's almost like the cord that has been severed from the emotions of these lawyers. And when you start looking at everything like mandatory minimum sentences with crack cocaine and all these other laws, then it's a whole other story when we look at the fact when we start talking about the apathy that exists with court-appointed attorneys and how even though they're paid a blanket $3,000 fee to represent each client from the state or whatever the fee is today. Let's just face it. Some of the best attorneys in the world, they have their own private practices, right, Chuck? And they get paid a lot of money to defend people. So where are the rest of the attorneys at? They take the path of least resistance and they get a blanket check from a state to represent someone. And all of that was a perfect storm, Chuck, that led this one guy. Let's say Chuck did shoot the guy in the hand. I'm going to ask you a simple question, Chuck Gallagher. How much time would you give someone who shot someone in the hand?
You're asking me the question, and the answer to me would be very simple. First, I'm looking at the facts and the circumstances, and two, that's a two-year gig. Yeah. You know, it's not a 100-year gig. And by the way, we've got about a minute and a half or so. And I want to explore this a little bit more, but before we do that, in this segment, Chuck is gone, and the lady that was raising you was pretty sick at this stage of the game. And if I understand this, she passed during this time. Is that right?
Right after he was sentenced, within weeks.
Within weeks of him being sentenced.
I had to watch them bring him to our viewing in his orange jumpsuit, the one I've seen you wear, with his hands and his feet shackled.
No.
That was one of the days that completely changed my life.
So by the time you're – now, how old are you at this point in time? 15?
16.
So by the time you're 16, you were orphaned as a child, naturally, so to speak, and now – the folks who have taken you in, by the time you're 16 years old, fundamentally, you're orphaned again.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the story is incredible, but this sets the stage for what Morris does to position you for success. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Morris Morrison. You can look him up at morrismorrison.com. It's simple enough. You can't forget the name. And I promise you this, before we go into our third segment, if you are looking for someone that can talk with your organization and help folks really hone in on what it takes to be positioned for success, Morris is the guy that can do that. We'll be right back after these messages. Morris Morrison is my guest here on Straight Talk Radio. And, you know, this it's been an incredible ride, so to speak, thus far. Morris, I don't know many people that have gone through what you did by the age of 16, losing fundamentally two sets of parents. How did that impact you?
It changed my life. And you know what? So I'm a teenager. And what do we know about studies of the brain and how our frontal lobe develops? We know that from the time you're a baby until your mid-20s to late 30s, a person's brain isn't fully formed yet. And the absence of certain, you know, neurotransmitters such as dopamine causes kids to make really, really emotional decisions, right? That's kind of why parents are at odds with their kids when they're teenagers, right? And eventually kids in their mid-20s, they come back home for Thanksgiving break or something from school and they say, "Dad, what happened? You got smarter since I left," right? No, your brain actually developed. That's what happened. But because we were emotional at that time, something emotional happened to me at that hospital. And this is why emotion is a beautiful thing. This is why God designed our bodies in a way that it did. When I left the hospital that night, when I had to say goodbye to Gwendolyn, the doctor, he walked me out. One of the things the doctor said to me, Chuck, before I left, he said, "As an attending physician, I wish there was some medicine that I could give you to help you through this time right now. I know this hurts, and I'm not going to lie, it's going to get a lot worse." He said, "But there is something I can give you that if you'll let me and if you'll receive it, it could help you through this situation. Help you for the rest of your life, actually, if you listen to what I have to share." You know, Chuck, sometimes when you're in a place where you need someone or you need some encouragement, you will take whatever someone has to give you. Doesn't matter what it is. I remember looking up at the doctor thinking, "Please, I don't care what you have, whatever it is you have right now, just give it to me, please." He looked down at me, he put his arm around my shoulders, and he said, "Don't you ever forget where you live." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Don't you ever forget where you're from. Son, you're from America. You live in a country where brave men and women fight for your freedom every single day. And no matter who you are, no matter what you go through, even times like this, Morris, even though you're going through one of the roughest moments of your life, even right now, don't you ever forget where you're from. Because in America, you don't have to be a victim. And you're responsible for your own life. Son, don't you know there are brave men and women who fight for your freedom in this country every day in the military? Son, don't you know there are people who get on homemade boats and rafts just to try to cross the ocean to get to this country so they can have opportunity?" He says, "Son, don't you ever forget where you're from. I know this is tough right now, but you keep this mindset. It'll help you through this. It'll help you for the rest of your life. You're responsible for your own life. No one else."
You know, that's powerful. Because effectively, he was saying to you in so many words, you have the choice to be a victim or a victor.
Yep.
Don't forget where you are and where you come from.
That is one of the most powerful things in this country. For a person to accept responsibility for their gifts, their talents, their ability, their lot in life, and I think the most powerful thing that a person can do, Chuck, is make a decision not to be great. Because, man, that's too much of a daunting task for some people. How do we do that? What is success anyway? What does it mean to be great? But when you can make a decision to say, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have, and I'm not going to expect any free handouts, and I'm not going to expect anyone to do this for me, you can do anything with your life at that moment. Let me tell you something. When I left that hospital that day, I was equipped with a mindset that just said, what do I have to do to make – and by the way, the doctor overheard me in her room before I walked out from upstairs, promise her that I wasn't going to squander what she did for me. I was going to take this opportunity she gave me and do the best I could. And I promised her before I walked out of her room, I was going to be successful. And of course, by the time he talked to me and told me to be responsible, remember where I'm from, by the time I got to the car, I turned and I looked up at her hospital room, the 8th floor in the last room on the right-hand side. And I saw it. I saw it when it happened, Chuck. I saw it. I saw them when they cut the light out in her room. And from the parking lot, when I looked up, with the flip of a switch, I knew she was gone. But with the flip of a switch, Chuck, that moment, the emotion from that moment, along with what the doctor just shared with me, all of that produced this moment where I sat there and I looked up and I thought, whatever I have to do to make good on that promise I just made her, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be successful. And of course, you know, I was young, black, poor. We were on welfare. I was going back to a house where the lights had been being cut on and off because she had been in a hospital. We didn't even have food in the refrigerator. Chuck, I had no idea what it meant to become successful. To be honest, if you ask my wife, she'll probably tell you I still got a long way to go because she's still trying to get me to learn how to take the trash out on time. But success is such a relative term. But I say that to say this. I made a decision that day. As I stood in that parking lot, it's almost like these big moments in life, these moments that we won't forget, kind of like getting falsely accused of a crime, or kind of like the day that you remember when the cops were coming to take you in. Yep. Or the day, Chuck, when you remember the sound of them shutting that bar when you first hit your cell. There are moments like that that will produce something in us if we let it, and if we accept responsibility for ourselves, that can produce something that will sustain your emotional motivation and inspiration for the rest of your life, and it will help you commit to things. And it's only when you make a decision to commit to something that your brain clicks in and says, oh, he's really serious about this. And then once you do that, once you prove to yourself you're serious, you accept responsibility for your life, your brain will take you to places and will your mind and body to do amazing things. And you know what? I graduated from high school. I took mostly all AP classes. I wasn't allowed to sign up for them. I fought with the guidance counselor. She said, I'll let you take one. If you do okay with them, I'll let you set your own schedule. She did, and then I did, and I set my own schedule, and I saw what it was like to be challenged. I struggled in the AP classes. I struggled, Chuck. It was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I stayed up all night doing homework. But for me, I wanted to be the only black kid in those classrooms sometimes, because I didn't want to accept that the neighborhood I was from, where a lot of people sold drugs, and I saw my family members smoking crack and on and off the streets. Man, that wasn't good enough for me, and I wasn't judging anyone else around me. But once again, Chuck, I thought long and hard about what I wanted for my life. And for me, I knew I wasn't that smart. I knew I didn't have resources. But man, to me, there was just something about throwing away everything you have. That to me, it just wasn't worth it, Chuck. And I said, you know what? I don't care if I strike out. I'm swinging as hard as I can at every ball that every pitcher throws at me, because eventually I'm going to connect with one. And y'all not going to see that ball because it's going over the people in the grandstands. And that was just my theory. I went to college. I got my undergraduate degree in psychology, because I was inspired to even try to understand why people thought the way they did and why some people succeeded and others didn't. I got my master's degree in business because I wanted to make an economical impact with this one idea that I had, which was, why is it that some people and organizations are successful and others aren't? I made a decision to pursue that.
So, Morris, let me ask you a question. This is a little, this might be a little off track.
No, it's not.
But let me ask you the question, because it's interesting when you look at society. You know, you've got a degree in psychology, a master's in business. You look at society and you look at where you came from. Okay. And here you are. And you just said, fundamentally, as a young black guy, I did not want to be on the street selling drugs, being a victim of, oh, I'm poor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Okay. Now, help me understand. So, what was the difference for you as compared to your peers? Because I have to ask this question in fairness. You said, oh, I wanted to be the only black guy in an AP class. Why weren't other people around you choosing the same thing?
Maybe I was just stupid, Chuck. Maybe I was so dumb, seriously, that I was so dumb that I didn't know what I didn't know. And have you ever done something, Chuck, that was a really, really good decision, and afterwards you realize that you kind of lucked yourself into that decision? You never really consciously did it. And I'm not saying I wasn't intentional, because I was, but there were some things that when I look back, I mean, seriously, I was up till 4 a.m. doing some of these projects. But Chuck, that's who I was. And to answer your question specifically, the thing that made me different, and I can't answer for other people, what made me different was I walked into a church one day that was right up the street from my house. And I don't remember everything that pastor said, but I remember when I walked out, he was preaching on some messages that were centered around stuff like Jeremiah 1:5, which says, where God said, I knew you even before you were in your mother's belly. I blessed you. I gave you crazy talent and abilities, and I put you there. And see, Chuck, that my faith helped me understand how a kid like me can come from a lady who went to New York City, and then my father, who was a drug dealer and a murderer on the streets of New York City and a crazy temper, and so crazy that they called him Wild Man. I'm thinking, how could I come from those two parents? But I know how. It's because every single person in this world was thought about and created for a reason, and everybody has a story. You can either choose to examine your whole life. Why did I come here? And why are these my parents? And why did I? Or you could just shut up and say, this is who I am. I'm here. And this is what I want to do with my life. And that's simply how I was. And I made a lot of selfish decisions. I decided to put myself first a lot, Chuck, And when you decide to put yourself first and try to be as healthy as you can, even if it means saying no to some other stuff, you get clarity about who you are and what you want.
You know, as we wrap up this segment, Morris, I have to say this, and I know you on a personal level. You are an inspiration. And, you know, I have to say this. It's you should be a very, very busy person, because when you see what takes place, you see issues that happen in this country. And racism still exists. To say it doesn't would be stupid. But to see the fact that you can say some things are wrong, and I'm not going to do that because I'm better than that, and I'm here for a reason, is incredible. And I know, gosh, I want to keep going with this, but we've got to stop for a commercial break. My guest is Morris Morrison. He is an incredible person to help you position yourself for success because of the clarity that he has shared. His website is morrismorrison.com, and we'll be back right after these messages to continue on with this incredible story and talk about the impact today. Stick with us. We'll be right back. My guest is Morris Morrison. This is Straight Talk Radio, and we have had a wonderful discussion about how Morris helps people position themselves for success through his success. And Morris, you know, I guess I have to say, boy, I wish you were the guy that was talking with people in Ferguson, or you were the person in Baltimore, because so many times, and listen, I say this because my stint in prison put me as a minority, and I'm sitting around looking at, 70% of the people that I was incarcerated with were drug dealers, and the majority were either African-American or Hispanic, and you could hear the conversations, and some people got it. My cellmate was a guy by the name of Buck. It was Buck and Chuck, and I think that was for comic relief, frankly, but Buck never went back because he made a decision that he was worth more than being nothing other than a number in a federal prison. And you made a decision not to ever go. And I applaud you for that, but talk to us a bit about where this takes you today and the impact that you have with organizations.
I like to think I have an impact, Chuck. So thank you for even alluding to the fact that I do.
Well, you do.
I can tell you what, I have a bunch of fun because for anyone listening to this video or watching it right now, understand this. Whether it's racism, whether it's our economy, whether it's immigration, whether it's all these big issues that our country seems to be trying to tackle, or the political landscape, I tried to find a way to say, how can I take this story that I have and all these things that I'm so passionate about, my research, my experience, and most importantly, Chuck, I'm just a collection of everyone that I've ever met because I'm a sponge. I take so much from so many people. I mean, when you're raised in West Virginia, the best part about being a Mountaineer is that people in West Virginia, man, they love each other, black, white, everyone. And we don't have a professional sports team, so we all love the West Virginia Mountaineers. There's a couple Marshall fans out there. And for you, you know, you guys have the opportunity for the conversion. But why do I say this about West Virginia? Because in West Virginia, I learned a secret that's led me to developing Morrison Global Brands. And while we've had the opportunity to work with companies like Microsoft, large sports groups like the National Basketball Association, Notre Dame, Florida State, and just 2 days ago, I was in the state of Minnesota with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development and the Department of Human Services, the whole range of organizations in between. Here's my message today, Chuck. My message is real simple. I tell people how I fell in love and how I got a chance to be married. I tell people how I got a chance to be a father now. I'm in love with baby Dorothy Jean. I call her Gummy Bear. You guys, hashtag Gummy Bear. That's where you'll find her on Instagram. I'm in love, man. I get a chance to build around me a family and have love, Chuck, that I feel like I missed out on as a kid. Love is so important, man. It's emotional. But let me tell you what's happening to our emotions and what else is the biggest part of my message. I have this here just to show you. Special release. A lot of people haven't seen this yet, but it's the release of our new book that's coming out this fall. It's called Overnight Success. And we looked at the title for a reason. So when we said how to accelerate overnight success, how to accelerate the results that you want in life. We titled it Overnight Success, Chuck, because there's no such thing as overnight success.
Right.
And the number one problem, other than the political landscape, economics, the prison systems, race in our country right now, is what's happening to us emotionally with this idea that all of us wants everything instantly. The number one thing that's changing this world that we live in is this idea of instant gratification. Why? We can Google something and get it within seconds, Chuck. We can Google it. We can go. Most of our food is processed now, so we don't even have to go to the farms and get food like we used to. It's just, and it's all right in the refrigerator. Doesn't mean it's healthy for us. And you know what, Chuck? If you forget to get your wife's gift for that special anniversary or for her birthday, go to Amazon Prime, click it tomorrow or today. The gift can be at your house on the same day. Why am I saying that, Chuck? I'm saying that because I speak to corporate audiences, I speak to college audiences and youth audiences. And here's what I can tell you what I see happening. Kids today are missing out on the importance of developing commitment and work ethic and taking self-responsibility. Why? Chuck, how many prison inmates have you saw who were incarcerated simply because they wanted to do something and get rich quick, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Whether it's an accountant who's fudging numbers and trimming a little bit off the edge just so they can boost their performance with a balance sheet, or whether it's a drug dealer who's selling drugs. That translates to even a lot of kids today who just, you talk to baby boomers or people over 50, what do they say? These kids nowadays, they don't know how to work for anything. Let me tell you something, Chuck. I don't think that's true because we have some remarkable kids today. But our youth, we see kids in college who expect to graduate and make $100,000 right away. All the way up to our people in corporate America and professionals today. If we can get over the notion of wanting things instantly, here's what will happen. The minute you reject the idea that the most important things that you want to go after are going to come right away, if you can reject that, you will typically position yourself for success. Wow, we know the story of lottery winners, don't we? Lottery winners, we've seen the stories on TV. That great financial windfall that we all say. Chuck, have you ever said, Chuck, oh, I could just win the lottery? You ever said that before?
You know, I have heard people say, let me put it this way. I don't say it because that means I got to play it. But I have had so many people, Morris, and you know, I know where you're going, who have said, if I could just win the lottery. And it's like, so you're not willing to put the steps in place to get what you want. You just want it somehow handed to you for handing over a $5 bill.
Yeah, yeah. Chuck, I want to tell you something. Most of those people who win the lottery, who get a financial windfall, they don't have the happily ever after story that they once hoped for, right?
Exactly.
And some people say it's too much money. It's not the money, Chuck. It's not that they came into too much money too fast. It's how they acquired the money. It came too fast. I'll tell you something. Even our Bible tells us if you don't work, you don't eat. Whether it's the Bible, whether it's this book, whether it's, we know the value of commitment. Once again, the moment you have an opportunity to do what that doctor taught me how to do that day at that hospital on the worst day of my life, when you take responsibility for your life, you understand that you're going to commit to whatever you have to do to live your process. And that's what this book, Overnight Success, is about. It's about the guy that I met named Clyde Randall in New York LaGuardia Airport. I happened to chat with him and talk to him. Millionaire, young guy in his early 30s. He said, Morris, I've dated the hottest women. I've got a beautiful girlfriend. I've got, you know, three houses. I got a house, you know, in the Hamptons and everything. He said, but Morris, something's missing. I'll tell you something, Chuck. When you have the ability to commit to what you want in life and you commit to your process and you have an opportunity to commit to sticking to it and going after what you want, you understand that there are no shortcuts. And when you understand there are no shortcuts, what happens to your brain, our brains has this. I mean, you go back thousands of years ago, Chuck, food wasn't available for us in a refrigerator. A wife was with the little babies. They maybe stayed in a cave or wherever these little makeshift houses were when we were hunters and gatherers. And what did men commit to? We committed that we were going out and we weren't coming back to the house until we had food. We would pitch tents out in the night. We wouldn't come back until we had food. That's why we ate whole foods. All the foods wasn't processed. Nothing's good with the word instant. By the way, Chuck, you remember just now I told you I just came from Minnesota, the State Department of Human Services?
Yes, absolutely.
spoke to about 700 of the top professionals in the state of Minnesota. And as our company, as we did our research, we realized that there's a brochure, some supplemental stuff that they try to put out for the participants who are on welfare, where they teach them how to shop for groceries. You know, one of the things I saw in one of the brochures, they taught them, they said, please don't buy instant rice or instant oatmeal because it's not good for you. It doesn't have high nutritional value. It's going to have more sugar content. Buy the dry stuff that's whole and it's in the bags. Yes, it's going to take a little longer to cook, but it's going to be healthier for you. And this idea of overnight success, Chuck, why is it really pressing our country? What's the biggest problem with our country right now? Chuck, we're all so busy. We're all so busy. I see parents make mistakes not because they want to, not with food or just with daycare options. I see parents making mistakes because they're parenting out of convenience. Why do parents parent out of convenience? Because they don't have enough time. So overnight success is not just about, hey, you want to play the lottery to get rich quick. No, I see organizations who make decisions for their employees based on the goals of their business units, Chuck, that sometimes aren't healthy for their organizations. You have to do things that are going to help you sustain your progress through your organization because nothing happens overnight, whether it's the food we eat or whether it's the goals that we have in our personal lives or our organizations. We have to be committed, Chuck.
You know, Morris, as we wrap up the show, two things I want to say. To those who have listened, Morris's story sets the stage for understanding the value of making a commitment to moving yourself forward. And for that reason alone, it is absolutely worthwhile for your organization to consider Morris as a person that you would want to bring in, not because of overnight success, but to understand that overnight success doesn't get you to create true right. success. Right. My guest has been Morris Morrison. This is Straight Talk Radio, and we've had a lot of straight talk as we have continued the discussion. Visit his website, MorrisMorrison.com, and look on the website because I am sure when the book Overnight Success is released, it will be a success.
It's already there. They can pre-order it now, Chuck. They can pre-order now.
All right. Folks, thank you for taking the time to listen to Straight Talk Radio. And Morris, thank you. MorrisMorrison.com. Thank you for being my guest here on Straight Talk Radio. And as I close every segment, remember, every choice we make in life as a consequence.
That's right.
Thank you, and tune in next week for more great information on Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.